God is good. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for your warm welcome, and it's good to be home. Pastor mentioned about my upbringing as a shepherd and my love for sheep. God's placed a deep love in my heart for sheep, and it used to be the woolly kind with the four legs. There's still a few woolies around. We'll get them shorn tonight, Pastor. Don't you worry about that. We'll get them tidied up. Praise the Lord. But you know, there's so many analogies and truths that from the Scriptures that speak about God's people as the sheep of His pasture. And if you can understand the character and the nature of a sheep, then it'll help you to understand that we are the sheep of His pasture. Can everybody say this with me? Bah. There we go. You've got it. That's... And it'll help you to understand, too, that sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. You know, over the years, sheep have copped a pretty bad rap at times. They've been called all sorts of things. They've had all sorts of stuff thrown at them. And one of the accusations goes that sheep are dumb. Has anybody ever heard that? Dumb sheep. Well, I'd just like to refute that tonight, and that's not true. Sheep are not dumb, they're just dependent. Huh? Sheep are not dumb, they are just dependent. Did you get that with my accent? Dependent. And in other words, they need a shepherd. Left to themselves, they will not survive and they will not thrive. But with a good shepherd, they will be fresh, fruitful, and flourishing. Amen. Well, it's a great honor to be here tonight, and Pastor Nichols was actually the first graduation speaker of the Bible school that I attended and my wife attended, and my wife was in the first year graduating pastor, and the international preacher from Fort Worth in Texas arrived, and they'd seen him on the videos and the DVDs. Well, it was probably videos back then. Anyway, And you had a word for that graduating class, Pastor. I don't know if you recall it, but the word was that the life people are coming. The life people are coming. Praise the Lord. And we took a hold of that. Hallelujah. We had the books of John and lessons on prayer from Pastor Bob Nichols. Man, how rich was that? And he's still going. Praise the Lord. Tonight I want to share a little with you and acknowledge you graduating class of 2015. We want to celebrate you. We want to challenge you. We want to charge you. It seems the pattern of human history is that it's always easier to start something than to finish. It just seems to be that way. And in any endeavor, in any group of people, in any task that's being undertaken, when people are being called to be a part of, there's a group that comes and starts, but not all that start finish, whatever the endeavor may be. And it just seems to be something that there are a certain ingredients necessary to finish. Dr. Ed Cole used to say it's easier to obtain than to maintain. True of a car, true of a marriage. You know, it's not difficult to get married. It's the staying married that's the deal and finishing what you began. And so I want to share with you the importance of developing a finishing mindset tonight. Finishing mindset. I'm going to finish. You have finished something, and we are celebrating what you have finished tonight. But really, it's not the finish. And I want to challenge you tonight to develop a finishing mindset. So not all who begin will finish. Starting is one thing, but the ingredients necessary, and these are some things I suppose that have helped me over the years to continue and hopefully finish the race that is set for me, and that you'll finish the race that God has called you to. In John chapter 17 and verse 4, the scripture declares that of Jesus, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And then in John 19 and verse 30, Jesus, with that shout of victory upon the cross, bowing his head and gave up his spirit, he shouted that it is finished. Praise the Lord. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus said that my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish the work. And then we have in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. The definition of finish is to come to an end. It's to perform, execute, complete, and fulfill. So the thing done corresponds to what has been said. Really important. The thing done corresponds to what has been said. What has God said for you to do? That's what he wants you to finish. Not what you think you want to do, but what did he say for you to do? You know, there was a king by the name of Saul, and he was asked to finish the Amalekites. Everybody remember that account, and want you to completely destroy the Amalekites. And the time came where Samuel the prophet came and I've done the job. I've finished it. Is that cattle I hear a mooing? Is that sheep I hear a baring? He had finished what he thought God wanted him to finish, but he actually hadn't finished what God had told him to do. It's really important. It was like when I was a little boy growing up, my mother used to try and instill in me this principle of finish. Finish your dinner, son. Finish your homework, son. Finish your greens, your vegetables. Now, that was a challenge for me. I used to have a technique that I loved mashed potato, but I didn't like peas. But I would, at the end of every meal that we had mashed potato and peas, I'd leave a little bit of mashed potato. And I'd hide my peas under the potato at the end and push it aside. She didn't mind if I didn't eat my mashed potato, but she did mind if I didn't eat my peas. So I just boldly lie. If you finished your greens, you finished your peas. Yes, Mum, look at the plate. They're just under the potato. That's really a Saul deal, isn't it? He didn't finish what he was asked to do. Finish means to carry out the contents of a command. It means to perform the last act that completes the process. We have a responsibility to discover what God has said for us to do and to finish what he's asked us to do. You and I, each individual, has their course to run. Mine is different from yours. Yours is different from mine. But I do have a race to run. And I have a responsibility to finish the race. I can't finish your race. You can't finish my race. But I can finish mine and you can finish yours. I want to let you know that God is committed to finishing what he started in you. God is committed to finishing what he began in you. Paul actually put it this way, I have confidence that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus. So that gives me great encouragement that God is never going to give up on you. He's never going to give up on you. He's never going to stop believing in you. The gifts and the calls of God are without repentance. He'll not take it back. Now, we may not pursue it, but any time you want to pick it up again with God, he's there. Just been waiting for you. Just been waiting for you. So it gives me great confidence that God's committed to me to finish what he began. So I think it just be right that I have the same commitment to him that I'm going to finish what he's given me to do. Two reasons why people are tempted to think that God is finished with them. Firstly, they think that their use-by date has come. They've passed their use-by date. Well, we heard this morning from Psalm 92 and verse 14, they shall still bear fruit in old age, they shall be fresh and flourishing. Praise the Lord. I want to let you know that there's no use-by date in God on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Secondly, the people are tempted to to not go on and not to finish is that they feel they're no longer qualified. They become disqualified. Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. When a faithful man is unfaithful, he's faithful to repent. You can be restored. If you have done something that you feel disqualifies you, I'm here to tell you tonight, you can be restored, you can be revived, you can be refreshed, and you can re-qualify yourself again to take up what God has called you to do. But you don't understand what I've done. I may not, but God does, and he's paid the price for it all. Now, your recovery may take a little bit of time, but that's okay. Huh? But you can, but people might condemn me. You know, the greatest condemnation really comes from self. You need to be able to forgive yourself. Why wouldn't you forgive yourself when God has? What makes you greater than God? Huh? That's a humbling thing. But you know, if you don't forgive yourself, you've just made yourself greater than God, because he's forgiven you. Thank God for his mercy. Amen. You may be hammered by guilt and condemnation because of something you've done or repeatedly done, but I want to let you know that God is greater. You might have let the Lord down. Well, I want to let you know he's okay. He'll be all right. He'll get over it. Huh? So you can be requalified. He is the glory and the lifter of heads. He will lift you up. He'll give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. Thank God he is faithful. He will not cast you off. He is rich in mercy. You know, I was sharing with Pastor as we were talking the other day, and I have a deep admiration for people that have missed the mark and fallen short and sinned and really become disqualified, but that have received the grace of God, have repented, have put things right, have been open and honest, and to God be the glory, are back in the race again. You know, I have great admiration for that. I have great admiration for people that have been kept by the power of God and avoided a whole lot of stuff. That's a wonderful testimony as well. But there's something that just stirs in me of somebody that's fallen and has got back up and had the courage to go on and get back into their place as a father, as a husband, and as a man of God and provide for his family when he could have said, that's it, I'm out. I'm too ashamed of what I've done. But with a scriptural principle of restoration and correction and recovery, we can go forward again. Amen. So Jesus finished what the Father had given him to do. The Apostle Paul finished what he had been given to do. By the grace of God, Bill Knott will finish what God has called him to do. Praise the Lord. I've got a finished mindset. You know, you may have even heard the challenge or the word spoken when you go to something and people will say, now we've got 50 people enrolled here. I want to let you know, statistics say that in 5 years' time, there'll only be 12 of you left. Well, there's just something that stirs in me and really ticks me off, I suppose, that says, I'm going to be one of those 12. You might not be a part of it, but I'm going to be a part of the 12 that's still here. I'm going to be in the upper room. Hallelujah. Now, this is a very deep revelation that I'm about to minister to you now. So hold on to your seatbelts there and strap yourself in. If you want to finish, as Pastor has already read this scripture from 2 Timothy 3:14, you must continue. There we go. You must continue. If you are going to finish, you must continue. You must continue. Isn't that deep? Really deep. There's some arenas that you must continue in. You must continue in the place that God has called you to. Continue to be present. Pastor mentioned of our relationship, but he speaks words of wisdom into my life, and a number of years ago when he was coming to be with us and minister, the question was, Pastor, can we organize some other ministry for you while you're in Australia? You know, it's a long way to come just for us. You know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he said, I don't need another place to preach. Okay, I've just come to be with you, Bill. Really? He said, yeah, and I don't actually have to preach. He says, I've found my presence makes a difference. Huh? Isn't that powerful? And so I have a saying now, my presence makes a difference. Your presence makes a difference. When you're in the place that God has called you to be, just turn up and be in your place. Your presence makes a difference. You've got to continue in your place. You've got to continue in your place as a man or a woman of God. Continue in your place as a husband or a wife. Continue in your place as a father or a mother. Just be present. Turn up to where you are supposed to be. Well, we're with you, Pastor. Well, where are you most of the time? Well, we're with you in spirit and with thought. Well, I would like you here in the physical. Your presence makes a difference. How many of you expect your pastor to be here every Sunday? Well, why do you expect anything less of yourself? Huh? Praise the Lord. Your presence makes a difference. So continue in the place that God has called you to be. You know, the place is not just the physical location, although it is, but it's also the place of relationship that you're in. The place of relationship that you're in. Stay in your place. This is my pastor. I am one of his sons. I don't ever get confused about that. I'm not his pastor. Hello? He's my pastor. Stay in my place and it'll be safe. Do not forsake the assembling together. Do not disconnect. When you're not in your place, you must realize that you are missed. Well, nobody will miss me. Well, if nobody will miss you, why are you here? Of course somebody will miss you. Will they be all right without me? Yeah, we'll get on all right without you, but it'd be better with you. Hello? Yeah. Well, there'll be others there to do it. Yeah, but we need you. Place a value on your presence. Your presence makes a difference. Hallelujah. Be permanent in your place. Peter J. Daniels makes this statement. He says, the only real measure of success is permanence. The only real measure of success is permanence. Discover your place. Don't decide on your place, but discover your place. You know, the scriptures talk about the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know, revelation comes to the heart. It is a book of information, but primarily it's a book of revelation. We see things. You know, when you go discovering, you are looking for something that is hidden. We are to discover the things of God. We don't decide where our place is, we discover. Now, you might think I'm being a bit semantic there and, you know, splitting straws, but it makes a whole lot of difference to your attitude. If you decide where you should be, then you'll decide where you shouldn't be. But if you discover where God has called you to be, you'll have a bit more of a challenge to justify leaving what you've already seen. So the discovery is important to hold you. You must have a revelation of where you are called to be and who you're called to be with. Because the what you're called to do will always flow out of the where you're called to be. Most people ask the wrong question about that. They say, I wonder what God's called me to do. Well, just read your Bible and you'll find that out. But you have to decide and discover where He's called you to be. Praise the Lord. This is where God has called me to be, in this relationship. It's about 10,000 miles away, but it's important for me at times to be present. Praise the Lord. The second thing you need to continue in is in time. So firstly in place, secondly in time. Well, how long is it going to take? Well, how long have you got? You got another plan? There's a time for everything. And everything has a time. Don't be premature. You know, premature things struggle. Sometimes premature things don't live. Time. You know, with time there comes a bearing, and you have to learn how to bear the weight necessary to bring forth in birth. Well, when's it going to happen? Well, just keep incubating. You know, it's easier to get pregnant than to carry a pregnancy. That's not speaking from experience, but that's just from observation. You know, it was great getting pregnant. I really enjoyed that bit. That was wonderful. You know, it's amazing that if you do the things that make babies, you'll have babies. You know, it's a revelation to some people. I've had people come, well, we're pregnant. I don't know how it happened. Well, let me tell you. You know, but it's easier to get pregnant than to... But you're going to have to bear that for a time until that thing, that child, comes forth. Hallelujah. That was... forgive me, Lord. I'm still growing. I need to continue. Okay. Well, how long will it take? How long have you got? It's important to remember that we're on God's time and He's not on our time. We like to mess up the clock and change it for daylight saving and all of that, but we need to get on GPT. It's God's perfect time. That's the time zone we need to be on. Lord, I need your time, your timing. One blow struck in God's timing is worth more than 1,000 struck in premature eagerness. It cost Moses. And just with the relation of continuing in time, of how long, how long should I serve the Lord? Well, all the days of your life. And while you have breath, how do I know when God's finished with me? You'll know. And we'll all know. And we'll be rejoicing because you've gone to heaven. That'll be it. While I have breath, I'll praise the Lord. You know, your ministry might change as you grow a little bit older and what have you, but nonetheless, your presence makes a difference. No matter how old you are, praise the Lord. You see, in our nation, I don't know if it's in your nation, but in the world, the spirit of the world has a mindset, I'm working with a view to retire. That's what it is. They're all working with a view to retire. They're working with a view to save, to have enough to live on so they can just do what they want to do for the rest of their life. They can take their ease. I want to tell you, it's not a scriptural thing. And don't allow that spirit of retirement to come into your walk with God. You will always have a job with God. You will always have a fully employed job with God. Amen. Please hear me in that. You know, if you're planning to retire, oh, Pastor said I can't retire. You know, if you're planning to retire, you can retire from your work, but don't ever retire from what God's called you to do in serving in the kingdom of God. Amen. Is everybody okay with that? Yeah, okay. Praise the Lord. The third thing we need to continue on, I want to challenge you in, is to continue in the condition. Continue in the condition that God has brought you into. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and let me read this scripture to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom you've not preached, whom we've not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. There are certain things in our life that we should be growing and constantly changing, but there are certain things in our life that should always remain the same. There should be a sameness about when I meet you, not that you haven't grown, but there is just something about the condition of the person that you are. You are authentic, you are genuine, you are you. But Paul was writing a warning here. He said there is a different spirit. There's another Jesus. There's another gospel. That is not the real deal. But it's close. And the closer that a lie is to the truth, the more damning it is. And we live in a day where there's, you know, you think, man, that's just not quite right. Well, how do you know? Well, the Bible says that we're to test the spirits. So be true to who you are, the condition of the God person that you are. You know, these other spirits, these other gospels, these other Jesuses, you can identify them because they'll always bring division. They'll want to draw you to take sides. They will want to challenge your loyalties. It's a divisive spirit. So be true to who you are. Do you know that a man should talk like a man? That's very deep again, isn't it? He should stand like a man. Hallelujah. He should smell like a man. He should dress like a man. I could be putting woman in here as well. And a man should behave like a man. Do you know why a man should talk, stand, smell, dress, and behave like a man? Because he's a man. That's really deep. But I want to let you know there's a bit of confusion happening around in the world, that there are some men that are not quite sure. There's a seducing, deceiving, foul spirit that wants you to be changed into a different condition. And Paul was warning, and he said, and you just might well put up with it. You know, there's a lot of churches being challenged to put up with another gospel, with a different spirit. Hallelujah. It's a foul spirit. You can smell it. The homosexual spirit is a foul, fierce, deceiving, seducing spirit, and it's rampant in the world. I call it homosexual because that's what God calls it. I don't call it gay because there's nothing gay about it. Nothing gay about it at all. That's a lie. It's a deception. I have personal experience as a young boy, aged 14 years of age. I was approached by that spirit. Lustful spirit. And I just thank God I had the sense to run for my life. And over the years I thought about it. You know, I didn't talk much about it because, you know, people might think, well, you're a bit strange, Bill. But you know, it's rampant today. It'll try and hit on you. And I thought about it over the years, and I'm just so thankful that I didn't receive the lie. But I was vulnerable at that time in my life. I'd had some issues that caused a deep sense of rejection in my life. So there was a wound. And you know, the enemy needs a wound to gain an entrance. And those that have been rejected are wounded. And that's why it's so important that we find acceptance in the beloved. That you know that God will accept you just as you are and love you just as you are. I believe the days are coming when we, the church, will minister far more effectively to those who are being challenged by this spirit of lust. And if you're here tonight and you have a sense, man, I'm battling some stuff concerning who I really am as a man or a woman, I wonder am I starting to even think that way? And you're looking and starting to think and to reason, well, you know, maybe I can find comfort in that relationship. I want to let you know it's a lie from the pit of hell. And God will deliver you and can deliver you. Amen. So continue in the condition. Praise the Lord. Paul, in writing to Timothy, was writing to his son, and he said, Timothy, preach my gospel. It's my gospel. We know it's the gospel, but it came through Paul, his father. Like father, like son. Paul said of Timothy, I have no one like-minded as you that'll care for you as I do. You know, there needs to be a certain smell and identity about the company that you belong to. And you just need to remain true to it. And if you don't, you'll get confused. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I just want to close with this thought here tonight of verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Knowing from whom you have learned them. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, you've learned from your grandmother Lois, from your mother Eunice, and you've carefully followed me. You've carefully followed my manner of life, my faith, my doctrine, my love, my perseverance. Of course, it all comes from God, and we are followers of the Lord. However, He provides people in our life that we may know. It's so important that you know whom you have learned from. Know those who labor among you. It has something to do with an impartation that comes into our life because we can look at an example. Many of you don't know me, but you trust me to a degree because you know the one I'm submitted to. And there are times in our life for us to continue, we must have someone that we can go to, not just for a word, but someone that we know. Because there's a trust element there that will enable you to receive what they have to say that comes from God. A number of years ago, I got really discouraged in an area of ministry, and Pastor was there, and as Pastor Greg Moore was saying, I was pretty much sitting on the Kleenex side of the other side of the desk, you know, and but I just got discouraged in an area of ministry, and I was just sharing with my pastor, and he said, well, he said, you do have an anointing in that area of ministry, and it was to do with men's ministry, and well, I think it would be God that you would fire that up again. Well, praise the Lord. I didn't actually feel like firing it up, but my pastor said, fire it up. And I know him. And I've seen him come through the storms. You got to have a living example that you know from whom you have learned. It'll bring such a strength to your life. I may not need him and need him to give him a call every week, but I need to know that it gives me great courage and great strength that if I do need to call, I have a confidence because I know him. And I can call upon him. And when I ask him for advice, I do what he says. It's amazing how many people will come for counsel and then go off and do their own thing. Well, why did you come for if you didn't want to do what I said? If you want to come for counsel for me, you'll only come once if you don't do it. I won't make another appointment. Did you do what I said last? Well, go and do what I said last. You know, in the world, we want to graduate from first grade to second grade, but in God's kingdom, he says, no, you stay there until you're ready to graduate. That's really good preaching, Pastor. Thank you for that enthusiasm. Hallelujah. See, we need someone else other than our own counsel to discover at times what God is asking us and wanting us for to do. So I want to encourage you, students, tonight to finish what God has called you to do. To finish your race. To finish your course. Paul finished. Finish in the place. Finish in the time. And finish in the condition. And to know those whom you have learned from. Winston Churchill said this: success is not final, failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. He said, continuous effort, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlocking our potential. There will be enemies. Rejoice. Hallelujah. Winston Churchill again said this: you have enemies? Good. That means you've stood up for something at some time in your life. There will be Demases who forsake you. There will be Alexanders who hurt you. There will be times when no one will stand with you. But the Lord stood with me. Winston Churchill also said this. He said, if you're going through hell, keep going. Praise the Lord. So that is the word I believe the Lord has placed in my heart for you tonight. Finish. Develop a finishing mindset. I'm going to finish. I'm going to finish the race. While I have breath, I'm going to serve the Lord. You know, there is all of us have temptations to quit. I said to Pastor one time, I said, I don't think you could ever quit, Pastor. You've preached don't quit so often that it just, I think it would be impossible. But you know, you just are never beyond the temptation, no matter how much you've grown, no matter how mature you are. You never come to a place where you're exempt from being tempted to give up. You think that, man, that won't happen. But you just can't insulate yourself if you're going to be a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the wounds and the hurts that'll come. But God is greater. But God is greater. And I'll love again. And I'll be revived again. And I'll be restored again. And I might get knocked down, but I'm going to get up again. Because I have the one inside who has the resurrection power. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. Praise the Lord. So graduating class, if you would like to be upstanding, I would like to read a charge to you tonight. Would you be upstanding, please? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. By the grace of God given to you, I charge you, preach the word of God, hold yourself in readiness to convince, rebuke, exhort, and teach. I charge you to be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. I charge you to hold fast the pattern of sound words and forsake not the assembling together, as is the manner of some. I charge you that you continue in the things which you have learned, knowing from whom you have learned them. And I charge you to fight the good fight of faith, that you keep the faith, and that you finish the race. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. God bless you. Finish your race in Jesus' name. Amen.
just want to give an invitation to all the grads, families, friends, to the reception in the fellowship hall, which is all the way, well, just barely down the steps there, to my right, to your left, after this is over.